Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We've been having a lot of discussion around where we're going with COVID-19 protocols and COVID-19 regulations, and certainly an observation is that many people are not wearing masks anymore. There does seem to be some, not only confusion, but lack of adherence to what the official policies are. We wanted to find out where we are with the COVID-19 protocols and when they would change. Dr. Nicholas Crisp, thank you as always for joining us. How are you doing? Are you a little bit more relieved? Are you a little bit more relaxed? And can you go on holiday sometime soon? because you deserve one, and we need a club together and send you somewhere very, very nice.
Thank you very much, Howard. Morning to you and the listeners. In fact, I'm going on leave tomorrow, and I'll be back on the 21st. So thank you very much for allowing me to go.
How about that? And we didn't even pay for it. I just want to make that very, very clear.
Thanks. Yeah, so look, I think the first thing to say to listeners is COVID's not over. I know that everybody's fed up and very tired of all the COVID and the restrictions. But we're still getting people sick with COVID, some desperately sick, and we are still seeing people dying from COVID. So I really want to beg people to understand this is not over. We are expecting another wave. We're not quite sure what to expect. As with each one, they're different, and this virus mutates in strange and radical ways from time to time. So I think what we do need to do is enjoy the gap while we have it without being irresponsible. But know that round about somewhere in the end of May, we are, according to what we've seen in the previous waves, we are likely to get something, another surprise, and we need to be ready for it. So what we want to caution people is that there will be a National Corona Command Council meeting today where various matters will be discussed around these measures, and I'm sure there'll be announcements made after that. We are all quite keen to reduce the restrictions and to get back to normal life, but we need to do it responsibly, and that's really what the balance is all about. Well, it's really in our hands, because we've seen and we've watched other countries, and we know countries that have 90% plus vaccination coverage have been able to do away entirely with all of their restrictions that may be a bit radical, but they have been able to. We are only sitting just under 50% vaccination coverage.
Right.
We know that vaccines protect all of us individually and collectively. So that's really the trick, is to get the vaccination coverage up as high as possible so that we get long-lasting immunity against all the variants of COVID.
Right. So in fact, just to endorse that, I went for my booster on Sunday, and I did feel it yesterday. It wasn't a particularly easy day yesterday. I definitely mounted some form of response to it, but it was okay. Today I'm absolutely perfect, and I also have the knowledge that that I've now been boosted, and it really is a great, a very, very good feeling. In terms of, you say we've got about 50% vaccine coverage. What about the fact that so many people have been exposed and had Omicron? Does that assist us at all?
Well, it does. It does a bit, but not to the extent that the vaccines do. So there have been a lot of studies, and in fact, we had a presentation yesterday evening where we were looking at the outcomes of a number of studies that have looked at hundreds of thousands of people to see how these different responses work. And it's quite interesting that people who have only a wild virus infection and no vaccinations at all do not have anywhere near the vaccine, the immunity of people who've had either a full, the primaries and a booster of vaccines and or an infection and vaccination. In fact, it's more than double the immune response if you've been vaccinated as opposed to if you've only had the wild infection. So we do get some natural infection, especially immediately after a wild virus infection. We do get an immune response.
But it
is not a sustained immune response. And I think we've said this before on your show, there are different kinds of immune response, and we need them all to kick in, and that's the antibodies that we make, as well as the cellular response, which give us a more long-lasting and durable immunity to against the virus. So it's still a good idea. Even if you have been sick, it's a very, very good idea to go and get your vaccinations and make sure that you're properly protected.
In terms of outdoor mask wearing, given the fact that most people aren't adhering to this in any event? Is there, and I'm not saying that that's necessarily the reason to change the law, but are we looking to revise our mask mandates?
Yeah, so that is one of the things we've discussed intensively, both in the health department and with colleagues in other departments, and it will be part of the recommendations discussed and announcements made. So there is evidence that certainly where there's good ventilation and we are able to maintain an adequate social distance and not, splatter our viruses over one another, that we can be more relaxed. Indoor is a different story entirely, especially if ventilation is not so good. But there is indication, especially walking around in streets and so on. But once one goes into banks and shopping centers and malls and places of worship and so forth, you need to be far more cautious because then there is droplet spread taking place.
In terms of hand sanitizing, is that still, obviously washing hands is important whether we have a pandemic or not, but is it still as important as it was? I know that I spent a bit of time on Sunday in a shopping mall, and I think my hands were drunk by the time I had finished that little experience. Is it still necessary?
So there's some indication that hand washing is far more important than sanitizing, but of course not everybody has water immediately available. So I'm sure that we will see sanitizers hanging around for some time. But they're not as effective, and as you say, they do eventually dry your skin out, especially the alcohol content ones. So I'm sure we'll see less enthusiasm for using those. There are also things like, we used to fog buildings and go crazy with sanitizing after somebody infected had been inside a space. We now know that that is not advisable. It doesn't do any good at all, and we're not recommending that. So that will be part of the formal protocols going forward to drop that kind of thing.
And in terms of vaccinations for younger children below the age of 12, is that also up for discussion?
So at the moment, there's no vaccine registered in South Africa for use under the age of 12. Mm-hmm. There's been hesitance in other countries as well. And there's not really as good epidemiological evidence for vaccinating small children. So not to say they don't get sick, but their immune response behaves differently from those of us as adults. And there are vaccines that are being trialed, including in South Africa, and we'll wait and see what is registered and how effective they are before we make those kinds of decisions. But the vaccine that has been tested, the Pfizer vaccine for small children, under the age of 12 children, is a smaller dose. It's a 10 microgram as opposed to a 30 microgram dose, and it has not been shown to be that effective at that dose. So, and then that means also that it's a different vaccine we would have to procure. So I think at this stage, there are too many unanswered questions, and we'll just bide while we as adults try and protect those around us.
Absolutely right, Dr. Nicholas Crisp. Now you can get to go on holiday, have a proper break tomorrow. And I hope no one needs to hear from you during that time, or no one needs to speak to you during that time. It is 7:26. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.